American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, September 7th, 2009! What a great Monday! You're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your head, space, and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can still get to my live journal by going to Sean, S-E-A-N underscore Kennedy dot livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, podcast.com, Podcast Alley. Every Thursday night, we're in Second Life Node Archers, grid 155-74666. We're on channel 200 in the UK Satellite Network. Hello! Actually, it's not even the UK Satellite Network. Sim, where is that network? Is it a UK Satellite Network?
It's Sky Digital, broadcasting in the UK and Ireland.
Okay, can you send me that in an email so I can throw this into the thing? Because that's pretty cool that we've got our very own.
It is pretty cool.
It's Max Headroom. This is like the Max Headroom episode, this one, man. I've got like so many Max Headroom stories in here. It's ridiculous.
Nice.
You know, so yeah. And of course, my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian, who is, you know, the man, the myth, the legend behind Rant Media. Which I
Thank you very much.
You know, I never signed up for Rant Media. Really.
Signed the contract, really.
I never signed the contract for Rant Media. I signed the contract for Rant Radio. I still have, you know, I still have love for Rant Radio. You know, like the radio.
Well, we're still
aspect.
Broadcast on it. This show is on it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's fun.
It is fun. It is fun. Of course, then again, too.
You just don't like seeing yourself on video, that's why. But you can listen to yourself, okay?
Nobody likes seeing themselves on video. That's why Hollywood people have, like, 10 million shrinks. That's why they have
that's
them.
True, yeah. They have to watch their own movies, yeah.
We have to watch our feedback, though. We have to watch our... I have to watch, you know, how much we banter here. Because I've got some feedback.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Is it tight? Okay.
It's tight. Well, it could be tight.
It's so tight.
It's pretty tight. Okay, there's your slash fiction for the day. Hail and well met, Sean and Sumerian. First up, you guys, rock. Rocked back in the day. Rock now. In the nighttime. We've been rocking for almost 18 hours. No, I'm kidding.
I'm rocking in the free world.
Yeah, we are. We're rocking, and I respect that. We rocked back in the day. We rock now. Looking forward to seeing you rock in the future, preferably with robotic bodies and omni-wave broadcast abilities. But, yes, there is a but. I have a small note for you from show 394, which I have no freaking clue.
That was good. That was a good show.
Oh, 394!
Yeah, right. Remember that one? We did the stories and the feedback and the show intro? And
right. And that was the one where I lost my place. I remember that one. Relating to your story about brewing of old hatred, Sumerian made a comment saying it was perhaps natural way of life because our lifespans in the early years was about 30-odd years. Do you remember that? Mea culpa, vegan. Yeah, you said that. Not true! It's not true.
That.
In fact, you managed to live through your childhood. You could expect to live about the same age as we live now. The 30-year statistic stems from the appalling rate of child fatality, which drives the average lifespan down to 30.
That's true, I guess. Yeah.
The appalling rate.
I mean, Noah back in the day lived to 900, right?
Yeah, that's right, too. Yeah, because you're all like children of God, right? Anyway, I know what he's talking about here. He's talking about how, like, people didn't... It's a statistical correction. But anyway...
No, it's true. It's a statistical... A lot of kids died, and it drove it down to 30.
Hey, we try to be accurate. We try to be accurate and well-mannered on the show.
We'll print a correction. on that we show. Did. I'll add a little an addendum to 394.
No, you don't have to. No, it's done.
It.
No, you've been publicly chastised. It's fixed. Look at that.
That's true.
Look at that's the value of communication.
My
there's no
error.
Memos. You know, there's no apologies. You just say, oh, yeah, and that's it. We move on. So, yeah, you were wrong. but he goes on to say, keep up. This is from Australia. So we read, you know, if it's foreign mail, that has priority, right?
That goes to the top of the pile.
Oh, yes.
Because it has an accent.
And P.S., Sumerian, you're still an absolute legend and know far more about almost everything than do I. But I knew this one. Ha, ha, ha. So you are great and powerful, O Sumerian.
I don't know anything about anything.
You do? Well, you're doing a good job with the video. You're learning some stuff about a Steadicam. I imagine.
I guess, yeah. Keeping it steady.
Keeping it steady.
All those pictures behind me in Second Life here. Sorry, you radio people can't see that. Sorry, some people posted some nice pictures of my Steadicam in Second Life land here.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, they're very excited about the new cameras here. Anything that's a robotic arm that keeps a heavy object stationary, that's pretty sexy stuff here in tech world.
It is, yeah.
But moving on to the second piece of mail. Dear Sean and Sim! That's how he wrote it, too, is like that many M's. No, I'm kidding. Dear Sean and Sim, I'm a regular listener to Newsreel, and I'm a fan of the show. However, lately, the pre-news banter has been running really long and pushing back the news into a very small time frame. This opinion is shared by others who may not be as cocky as I am and thus not have emailed you. That being said, I'm not one to bitch or yell, fix it, so I come to offer solutions. Here's the ideas I came up with. Run the show
Shut
longer.
Shut the fuck up. Number one.
No, he didn't say that. He said number one.
Okay.
No, he's been... fair enough. You know, fair enough.
Okay,
run the show longer.
He's...
Do a bunch of banter, then cut it off. So... the buzzer. Throw out the intro and get into the news. Offer the pre-show banter...
the <intro. laughs>
offer the pre-show banter as an extra... Say option number
bonus
two,
footage.
The option number two is same as above, but do the news right off the bat and do the banter afterwards. This way, people who just want
so
the,
we can stop.
So yeah. People who just
so
want
we can
the
stop
news,
listening.
Yeah, that's right. People who want the news can turn off the show, and after that's done, because I just it's like he likes my news stories, but he just doesn't like me. I'm so used. Split it into two
shows. I've got
shows.
A solution for him. I've got a solution before you read the third one.
What's that?
Just go to his live journal. If you don't like hearing the sound of Sean and my voices, his live journal outlines all these amazing news stories in an easy-to-retext fashion. And you could just run that through a voice simulator, and boom, you've got the news.
Boom, there it is. Hey, I never even thought of that one. You know, that's why you're the boss, seriously. And then you split it into two shows. Now, this one's pretty good, because this is a bigger market for you, right?
There we go.
Hey, you could sell a whole new set of DVDs with that. We're going to have the Newsreel news section, and then we're just going to have Banter with Sean
Banter.
Kennedy.
You know, that's the new show,
the
Banter
new show.
With Sean Kennedy.
You know, hey, you know what? I bet you if we had a show called Banter, and we put it on for freaking 3 hours on a Wednesday night, we'd pack the airwaves, man. We'd be packing servers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna tell ya. People love that stuff. They love it. They think it's great.
They do. They liked what the hell.
Fun.
That's
it's
all
fun.
That was.
Yeah, that's all it was. What the hell was banter? Anyway. Split into two shows where you two just go nuts with dialogue for the hardcore fans and one that's more news-centric. I don't presume to tell you how to run your show, but hey,
but you just did.
No, he didn't presume to do it though. He was very nice. This is the nicest. You're being an asshole. Why don't you do the nose letter ever? I mean, this is very nice.
It's true.
It is true. It is nice. I don't presume to tell you how to run your show, but hey, it can't hurt to throw it out there. And I didn't put the name on. The name's not even on the show format, so Sim has no idea who sent it.
I have
Nobody
no
knows.
Idea.
I've
who
already
this
forgotten who sent it.
Guy is.
Yeah. What's
girl.
That? No, you have no idea.
I mean,
it's a valid point. I mean, you know, hey.
It is valid, yeah.
So, you know, if you're listening to the show and you think the show's stupid because me and Sim are just kind of meandering around on our stories about, you know, movies and what's going on in our lives, and you just like us to
blah, blah, blah,
we just like you to shut the fuck up and read the news, that would be awesome, you know, and that's it. You know, if that's hey, dude, honestly, what kind of a jerk?
This is NPR. Welcome to the news.
It'd be funny
today,
to try.
Fighting in Afghanistan
you
continued.
Know, it's like, and today on NPR, beep, yeah, here we are. Okay, we're on the air, and beep, yeah, okay. Why does this keep restart? Beep, you know, like, oh, it'd be
I know.
It'd be painful.
But I do understand that the show is called Newsreel. So presumably there would be a lot of news on the show.
One would say.
You have to strike a balance between entertainment and news.
And to be fair,
some people come here for the entertainment.
Well, we've talked about this before too, where I mean the guys who were used to hearing Sean screaming in the darkness, you know, every day, like those kind of news hounds that just like respect me because, you know, of my ability to sustainedly yell. I think that's
We did get chewed out when I came on the show, and everybody went, "Oh my God, they're just talking! They're talking now."
Yeah,
but you know,
well, it's not like
a valid point.
I'd like to think it's entertaining. You know, I would. Yes. It's not like I'm like, "Hey, are you still there?" Oh, it's good. Sometimes I just like to sit on the show, and I know that Sim's there, but he doesn't say anything. But I just know he's there, and it makes me feel better. And I know all of you are there too. You know, like I don't want to tell you. But I suppose, you know, hey, there's, you know, is it, we're talk radio, rant, talking it's, rant.
That's right.
When I was younger, it was so much easier, and now I'm just so confused, I just don't know anymore. So if you,
But it's a balance that we have to
balance.
Walk the line of. Yes.
Fuck balance. Balance doesn't, you know, that's the problem. That's the problem. I'm beginning to think more
and more.
We have
to be fair to everyone.
Yeah,
everybody.
You know what? If everybody's equal, then nobody's special, you know? And, like,
that's
where
right.
are you going to get... seriously, like, I don't know. Sometimes
what are we going to do with all these blue ribbons we bought for everyone that
oh,
is going to be running
come
on the track field?
Come on. I mean, let's not to get all into, like, the Democrats have got a really lot of good ideas about not letting people die in the street and stuff, okay?
Yeah.
But there comes
like
a point
kind of thing,
when you have to go across to the other side and you have to be realistic about problem solving. You know, like a Democratic army is
right.
not going to work. You know, you're not going to be able to, you know, special interest group your way out of, like, alien invasion. Like, that shit's not going to happen, you know? So in the really real world, you're going to need to, if we'd like to, I don't know, build something that's lasting that would go to the stars. I don't think our current government mm-hmm. models are really up to the trick. You know, I'm bleeding. I thought I'd mention that now. That I've
Is it out your ear and nose and eyes
no,
all at the same time?
No, it's from my knuckle, actually. I have blood.
Okay. Well,
I think the guy who wrote the email...
He just, suffers
I think
for you people.
I
you see
he got,
this. He is talking about his
sufferment. I think he
sufferment.
Got me with an Ayub Razorback, I think is what he nailed me with. My knuckle's bleeding.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's not really bleeding, which is weird. There's a big cut in it, but it's not bleeding. But it's a sizable cut. So we'll just carry on doing the show. Sorry.
Yes.
As I was there. But yeah, it was really bizarre. It's far deeper than a paper cut. I put this one right on the top of the knuckle of the pinky. God knows how I got that. I must have touched something in here. Because all my computers are the cheapest computers ever. They're made in that part of China where they don't have files.
Geez.
So when you put the computer
together...
Where they
sharpen the edges of them.
Oh, dude, it's brutal. Like, you know, every time
With
you put these computers
lots of
together,
metal splinters lining the edges of
1D4,
them.
1D4, you know,
that.
Straight to hip points every time you put the computer case together. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so that's... But like I was saying, if... You think we banter too much on the show? Send us an email.
Please let us know.
Newsreel@rantradio.com. And, you know, let us know what you think. Dear Sean, I've been a longtime listener of Rant Radio. Sean, you and Sim are the greatest form of media on the internet and have helped me through tough times in my life by just ranting about injustice and the telling of funny stories. Hey!
He likes our funny stories. They're right there. Right there.
And ranting about injustice. We rant about injustice and we tell funny stories. Knowing... that there was always the Tales from the After Now and patrolling waiting for me on the internet was the greatest feeling I have known. Wow, you need to find some love. If that's the best that you have known, man, you know, you need to go to Amsterdam. That's where you need to go. You guys kick ass and chew bubble gum in a huge way. Please continue with Newsreel and everything else. Everything else. Okay.
Everything.
Also, when the zombie apocalypse comes, I will come to see you guys in a heartbeat.
Which there will be no room left. I'm sorry.
Which I was thinking about that statement. I thought that was a weird thing to say because in a heartbeat, well, if you're dead, you don't have a heartbeat, right? So what if, you know,
well,
in the zombie apocalypse, all of our fans are not going
our
to,
zombies.
You know, be making it, you know, like some of them will die. And those ones, you know, might decide to come, like, so there'd be all these zombies running for our place.
A homing beacon?
Well, there's one anyway. This guy here, if he's coming, the zombies don't have a heartbeat, so he's got the rest of eternity to run to my place, and he doesn't eat anything. So, yeah, I'll be waiting for you. man, Mr. Xenophian. Yeah, I'm waiting for you. Yeah. And the zombie uprising comes, I'll be waiting, looking for the guy with the Rant Media t-shirt. And those are the zombies they get there first. Oh, yeah. That's why zombie apocalypse, you want to put that Rant Media t-shirt on, man, because you want to have the log going. Well, because, you know, hey, you're looking through a scope, and it's like, hey, I got a bunch of guys. They're arguing. Yep. Are they? Yeah. What are they arguing about? I don't know. One of them found something. Are they still arguing? Yeah. What are they wearing? One of them's got a WOG shirt on. Well, what's yeah? Like a Rant one? Yeah. Well, how many guys are he on? He's on one side. Well, okay, shoot the other guys. All right. You know, that's how that works. You know, so in the
know your target.
You gotta have it. And if you're a zombie wearing a Rant shirt, we're not gonna, like, you know, we'll treat you with some respect. You know, this was a.
We'll make it quick.
Yeah, I'm not gonna, you know, make you pit fight other people or you know, have you hunting for sport or use you as generators by waving brains in front of you and then hooking you up to treadmills or anything like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be cremation.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it'd be cremation. But
I've never seen that in a movie. Have they ever done that in a movie?
Which?
Zombie powered cities?
No, I just made it up. Just now.
That's pretty good. Well, I know the pit fighting was in Land of the Dead, but there's no power generator.
I just made it up now. Just now.
There you go.
Yeah, well, I've been writing a lot. That's the other thing.
Uh-huh.
Thousand words a day I've been able to pull off, and Thursdays I do the show, so
Ideas are flowing.
Well, it's funny. It's a lot like work. There's really sometimes... seriously, that's what it is. If you wait until you're inspired, you're never going to get anything done. You sit down, you look at the keyboard, and you begin to hit keys, and that is what happens. and then you get faster. That is the only way. You don't write books. You write a couple hundred words at a time, and then you hate your life, and then you read it, and you're like, oh my god, this is horrible. And then you imagine all the critic reviews where it's like, Clive Barker bought Sean's new book and decided to get back into writing because it sucks so bad that. You know,
he had to cleanse his palate by writing a new book.
Yeah, like my parents and family and all my friends, like, James burns all of the Rant Media stuff and, you know, throws it because it sucks so bad, you know.
But, no,
it's true, you know, that's the way you think. And you get on that, you ruminate, as they say. That's what you do. I'm ruminating.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the medical term for it. That's the medical
I get
term.
The same feeling every time I release a video after I've edited it. It's like, oh, this is so boring. Nobody will like it. Of course, I've seen it 300 times while I've edited it, so nothing's funny, nothing's interesting, and nothing's new in it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It's you know, so this is how I feel. But you know what? The next one here is funny because they got the Ikubi guy is in the crowd there. I can see him in Second Life. And that's actually an amazing character, that avatar with the skinny guy with the TV head, because he's in the book.
Oh, is he in there?
Yeah, nice. He's out there sitting on the crowd.
Oh, there he is. Characters. Awesome.
Yeah, and it's always kind of a trip for me to see people show up. And there's been a couple that have shown up, and they're characters from my stories, but, like, there's no pictures of these characters because I would know. Right? Because they're my characters.
True.
Like, I made these things up. So it's a hell of a thing to see somebody show up with something that you made up. You know what I mean? It's
described, like, with just words.
Just words. Yeah. And to see somebody, it's like they got it. You know? And that's kind of a praise that transcends, like, language barriers. You know what I mean? You don't really have to say anything else. And there's nothing I can
really say
in return for that other than to say, hey, I get that. You know what I mean? Like, that's your effort is not wasted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I always think that's kind of neat. Sorry, I was on a bit of a tangent there. But I suppose since we're on tangents...
Sorry about that, on and on of Sky.
Don't be a big man. Look at you. You're all fight lately, eh? Man, that new... Now you look at you. You're savage. You're itching to go. Last few shows, I've noticed that. You've been angry, Sim.
I don't know what's happened. I don't know.
Well, you got married, right? And
that's
you
a year and a half ago.
well, yeah, but I mean, it's gradual buildup. You think it's a year and a half? That's nothing.
Oh, I see.
I think that probably by the time you've married 10 years, you're going to be like the angriest dude ever. You know, I think you're going to be like, you're going to total role reversal. You know, you'll be doing the suicide.
Makes for good radio. Yeah, you'll be all calm, right?
Yeah, I'll be trying to stop you from
like,
hanging
calm
up.
Calm down,
yeah.
Sam.
Oh, yeah.
Calm down.
Easy, man. You just got to get along, man. That's what you got to. And you'll be like, no, it's for the fools. That's what it'll be.
They must learn.
They must learn. That's, you know, and I'll just be like, fuck the world. Anyway. In global control news, check this one out. Sent in by Mason, a senior lawyer. I am senior lawyer. I am junior lawyer. I am squire lawyer. A senior lawyer at Microsoft is calling for the creation. I call for. What a weird thing to say. A senior lawyer in the towers of Microsoft is calling across the land for the creation of a global patent system to make it easier and faster for corporations to enforce their intellectual property rights around the world. Okay, well, are they going to have jets? Are they going to be like G.I. Joe? Because that'd be awesome. In a blog, Blackwater will bid on it. In a blog posted today, Microsoft's Deputy General Counsel Horacio Guitarez? Horacio the guitar? Guitarez? Jeez,
yeah,
I hate
Guitarez.
That. How do you say that? It's a Spanish name. Horacio,
Guitarez?
Guitarez?
I don't know.
Horacio, Mr. Guitarez, said that a backlog of patent applications internationally was needed to tackle a 3.5 million patent-pending applications around the world. Oh, I see there's a backlog of inventions. So Microsoft wants to create this thing. And today's world of universal connectivity, global business, and collaborative innovation. It's a time for a world patent that is derived from a single patent application examined and prosecuted by a single examining authority and litigated before a single judiciary body, Ein Reich, Ein Volk, Ein Führer, and said Guitarez. A harmonized global patent system would resolve many of the criticisms leveled at the national patent systems over unmanageable backlogs and interminable pendency periods. Wow, the language in this is just brutal. Guitarez went on to praise efforts to harmonize international blah, 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 blah. So he wants to create a global patent system. That's his big idea.
Of course he does.
Yeah, I'll bet he does. Because then, you know, you can't.
Because it's enforceable worldwide, and you can go after anybody in any country, anywhere, if they even step on even the tiniest toe of Microsoft's patent.
Microsoft trying to do world government.
No.
Honestly, straight up, you have a choice. Okay, here's your crappy choice of the day. Gun to your head. Bang.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah. Google takes over the earth, Apple takes over the earth, Microsoft takes over the earth. Or, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be?
I don't like any of those choices.
Who's it going to be?
I don't like any of them. Google's like this an omnipotent eye that watches and knows absolutely everything.
Right.
Where's my Linux open source choice, please?
No, if you had to choose one of those three, that's it. There is no other choice. Sorry, you lose. It's
and
either
then
that
Apple's,
or you get
the Apple's like the lockdown, here's your one choice company.
Right.
Everything works with this because you only get the one choice. Would you like an Apple or an Apple?
Right.
Well, I guess I'll take the Apple.
Shake the
Microsoft
iPod.
Is a little
Shake
bit.
Shake it. Shake it.
And Microsoft's a little bit is more leading. I would actually choose Microsoft.
I would as well.
Unfortunately.
So, you know what? Stop
Without
throwing
a Linux alternative? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should stop focusing our efforts on picking on those guys and picking on people who, like, you know, make chips for landmines and stuff. I just, you know, as a thought. Anyway, in dead meat news, this was sent in by Tabun with hormone. Okay, this is going to blow your. This one's for you, baby. This one is for you, Sim, right now. With hormone free, cage free, and antibiotic free. Becoming common labels on our supermarket shelves, might pain-free be the next sticker slapped onto a rump roast? As unlikely as that may seem, progress in neuroscience... Okay, now, first of all, they lead in with the cages, okay?
Oh,
so never
geez.
Mind that.
Yep.
Progresses in neuroscience and genetics in recent years make it a very real possibility. In fact, according to one philosopher, we have an ethical duty to consider the option. It is your duty! If we can't do away with factory farming, we should at least take steps to minimize the amount of suffering that is caused, said Adam Shriver, a philosopher at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. In a provocative paper published this month, Shriver contends that genetically engineering pain-free animals are the most acceptable alternative. Let's take all the pain out of these animals. I'm offering a solution where you can still eat meat, but avoid animal suffering. Humans consume. It's like, okay, that's like, you know what? It's okay to go sleep around on your wife, provided that you don't know who you're touching. Like, what is that? That's not accurate. That's bullshit. I think you're missing the point here. But whatever. Humans consume nearly 30 million tons of meat. Humans all over the world. I guess all over the world, we eat 300 million tons of meat each year. Our appetite for flesh has risen by 50% since the 60s. And the trend looks set to continue. And that must mean, like, since the 60s, like, what, every day? There's twice as many people eating meat. 1965, there's so many people! By the time it's like, no, that couldn't be it, because it'd just be retarded. But, like, we'd be like, oh, my God, a bunch of death reavers or something. I don't know.
Is that per capita? I bet that's not per
capita. I don't know, man.
You're
reading the story. I'm reading the story. This is what we got. Most of this likely comes from factory farms, notorious for their cramped quarters and ill treatment of animals. Battery farm chickens, for instance, routinely have parts of their beaks removed without anesthetic or pain relief to prevent them from pecking their neighbors. Not to mention that video that's floating around. You see that one with the chicks? And they're at the egg place, and if the eggs hatched, there was chicks. They just threw them through the grinder where they throw all the shells, and they were, like, live, and they filmed it. This animal rights group went in there, and they were filming them throwing these cute baby chicks into these grinders. It was like...
Well, yeah, if they're male, they don't lay eggs, so they grind them up and then feed them to other animals.
No, this wasn't even that. This was an egg-sorting plant. Like, they were just throwing them out in the trash. Like, there was no grinding up. It was just, oh, that's chicken. We don't need those. So they're... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which I'm...
Because it was fertilized.
I guess. I have no idea.
There's a baby chick growing inside the egg, so it's not a real egg.
Yeah. I guess. Okay. I don't know. This thing to me just makes me go, of course, there's Sean. What could possibly go wrong? You know, let's see now. Let me get this straight. So I've got, you know, this...
Pain-free animals.
Well, yeah. So let's do this with pigs, say, okay? And then you get those pigs that escape, you know, and they wind up in the swamps. And they grow up to be like Hogzilla. And now you've got a Hogzilla, the frickin' Terminator, who's, you know...
Who knows?
Who's on fire and the pig won't stop. And, you know, you got genetically engineered polar bears and baboons and monkeys and stuff that you can't stop with tasers. And, you know, I don't know. Like, it sounds like a crazy world we live in. And at the very least, that means that, you know, you're messing with all the animals that are eaten. You know what I mean? Like, that's genetically engineered animals. If you eat meat, it's genetically engineered. And, I think at that point I might go Luddite. I think I'd be really... I'd be killing my own at that point. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to go...
There's also...
I like my meats with my pain. I don't want no genetically pure meat.
There's also another alternative is that now these animals don't feel pain. They can do whatever the hell they want to the animals. Put them in cages... They could bring a cow into the restaurant, carve off half their back end, and cook it right in front of you while the cow is alive. And they go, "Nah, it's okay. It doesn't feel any pain, and it's very fresh."
Oh, if you got that, let's go one step. You could have like art exhibits that are dogs that have been taken apart, so just their heads are together, and they'll like pull themselves around by their intestines, and they'll be like, you know, wagging their tails, and you'll pat this dog with this little Cenobite nightmare. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff you could do.
He's fine. He feels no pain.
You know, it'd be like Placination for real. Like, did you go see that display? The Placination one.
Yes.
With the you saw that?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
It was funny. I got this barber. He's a fantastic guy, and he's pretty cool.
They're all dead.
What's that?
They're all dead.
Yeah, but that's just...
Who cares?
Ah, man. I don't know, man. Like, I was kind of...
They didn't kill them to put them on display.
I know, man. I know. I'm just saying it's a little bit creepy is all I'm saying here, all right? That was a creepy exhibit. You know, I don't want to walk in and see some guy looking at you and he's holding his lungs. I'm like, no, dude, I got to sleep tonight, all right? Thank you very much for showing that. And the dynamic of having the children... La, 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 that's just fucked up. It's like there's a whole bunch of skinned people on horseback. And these, like, you know, 8-year-olds who should be, like, hiding underneath the bed are, like, running around having fun. You know, that's weird, weird shit to be doing with dead people, okay? It needs to be said.
It shows us for what we are. We're just another animal.
Maybe you're just another animal. I don't know. I don't want
to. I am.
Good enough, but don't go labeling your label on me there, Mr. Label Maker. I'm not. Don't go call me no animal, because, you know, I wouldn't want.
That's right. You
wouldn't want people you care about to be on an exhibit like that, would you? Would you?
Sure, it's for educational purposes.
You'd have no problem with people you care about, your mom or your sister, after they're dead. You'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
You are unbelievably weird. You are unbelievably weird. I love you, but you are so weird.
If it was legal, I would have myself fed to animals, carnivorous animals, so that I would be useful after I was dead.
You're a vegan feeding yourself to carnivorous animals.
It's also ironic, too.
Yeah, it's delicious. The irony is delicious. In pharma fascism news, sent in by Icehawk, depression, this is a good one. Depression seems to pose an evolutionary paradox. Researchers in the United States and other countries estimate that between 30 to 50% of people have met current psychiatric diagnosis criteria for major depressive disorder sometime in their lives.
30 to 50%.
One of us, Sim, is crazy, and I'm not taking no pills. And you're the psycho vegan guy over there running everything, so I'm not taking no pills. Don't come any closer, Sim. I swear to God. But the brain plays crucial roles in prompting survival and reproduction. So the pressures of evolution should have left our brains resistant to such high rates of malfunction. Mental disorders should be rare. Why isn't depression? The paradox could be resolved if depression were a problem of growing old. The function of all body systems and organs, including the brain, tends to deteriorate with age. This is not a satisfactory explanation for depression, however, as people are most likely to experience their first bout of adolescence or young adulthood. So it's not really to age, because, I mean, you know, if you're going to be all goth and mopey, you know, it's pretty handy if you're a teenager as well, right? You know what I mean? Because you're kind of ridiculous if you're 45 and still, you know, goth and mopey. You know, it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Or perhaps depression might be like obesity. I mean, if you eat too many donuts, you get obese. But I don't understand why depression might be like obesity. A problem that arises because modern conditions are so different from those in which we evolved. Which, that's a really gentle way of putting it, isn't it? Homo sapiens did not evolve with a cookie and soda at their fingertips. Yet, this is not a satisfactory explanation either. Now, I don't agree with this. Because it takes all the onus off the individual. It's not your fault. It's not your fault you're fat. Yes, it is. It's totally your fault you're fat.
Yes, it is.
It's not your fault if you're, you know...
People know better. People don't think cookies are good for them, and pop is good for them.
Come on, let's cut the crap. You know, you got to take some accountability for your physical, you know, shape. Anyway, yet this is not a satisfactory explanation. The symptoms of depression have been found in every culture, which has been carefully examined, including small scale societies. So you know what? They're saying it can't be like obesity either. So there's another possibility that in most case instances, depression should be thought of as a disorder. It should not be thought of as a disorder at all. In an article recently published by Psychological Review, we argue that the depression is in fact an adaptation, a state of mind which brings real costs but also real benefits. Now this is kind of interesting, the angle they're taking with it now. One reason to suspect that depression is an adaptation, not a malfunction, comes from the research into the molecule of the brain known as, here it is, 5-HT1A, which is a receptor. How do they know that? The 5-HT1A receptor binds to serotonin, another brain molecule that is highly implicated in depression, and is the target of most current antidepressant medications. Rodents lacking this receptor show fewer depressive symptoms in response to stress, which suggests that it is somehow involved in promoting depression. Now, hang on. If I'm a small furry animal in a cage, I don't want to take pills that are going to make me feel better about being in a cage. I'm going to take pills that make me big and strong so I can get out of the cage. You know what I mean? That is just... That's just bizarre, because if it's up to the rat, the rat wouldn't want the pills that make him feel better. I'm just saying. Pharmaceutical companies, in fact, are designing the next generation of antidepressant medications to target this receptor. Wow! When scientists have compared the composition of that functional part of 5-HT1A receptor to that of humans, it is 99% similar, which suggests that it is so important that the natural selection has preserved it. The ability to turn on depression would seem to be important, then not an accident. This is not to say that depression is not a problem. People depressed often have problems performing everyday activities. They can't concentrate on their work. They tend to socially isolate themselves. They're lethargic. They often lose the ability to take pressure from such activities or take pleasure from such activities as eating and sex. Some can plunge into severe, lengthy, and even life-threatening bouts of depression. And that's scary stuff. Scary stuff when your brain's not working properly.
Yeah.
You know, that's scary shit. Nothing really to be... I mean, we poke a lot of fun here because, you know, we're crazy. But, you know, it is frightening when you see what depression can do.
You don't know what's wrong with you.
No.
You don't know why you're depressed. You're just depressed.
Clearly,
you're sitting
and
there.
The chickens are after you. You don't know what's going on. I think that's not really depression, but it's in the same camp. So what could be useful about depression? Oh, depressed people often think intensely about their problems. Wait, what? Oh, no. I must be depressed. These thoughts are called ruminations. We're ruminating. They are persistent, and depressed people often have difficulty thinking about anything else. My life sucks, and unfortunately, my brain keeps telling me my life sucks. Maybe you should change your life. Numerous studies have also shown that this thinking style is awfully highly analytical. They dwell on complex problem, breaking it down into smaller components, which they consider one at a time. Which is kind of what I teach in patrolling, which is starting to scare the shit out of me, right, as I read this show. This is the story of the show. The analytical style of thought, of course, can be very productive. Each component is not as difficult, so the problem becomes more tractable. Indeed, when you're faced with such a difficult problem, such as a math problem, feeling depressed is often only the only useful response that will help you analyze and solve it. For instance, in some of our research, we've found evidence that people who get more depressed while they're working on complex problems in an intellectual test tend to score higher on the test. So, it seems like if you're depressed... So hang on. If I'm depressed...
If there's a reason for your depression, then maybe you can solve the depression. But I know people that are just depressed, and there's no problems happening. They're just, you know, chemically depressed. So this... Maybe they're talking about a certain type of depression here, of course.
Well, you know, well, 50% of us are there. You know, according to this article, you know, half of us are in need
of pills. That 50% is probably found out by the pharmaceutical companies, or it's wishful thinking.
Pills.
Yeah, half the population needs our pills.
Pills. You know, it's interesting. That's why they're going to do the this socialized healthcare in the States, right? Because if they do socialized healthcare in the States, if you think that you're handing out pills now... See, in Canada, we've only got about 20 million people, so that's not a market, right? But if they get socialized healthcare in the States, holy crap, you better shoot the pharmaceutical industry, because otherwise they're just going to market the snot out of it.
Because it'll be very well-funded.
Yeah, it's going to be a prescription population. That's how they're going to get everybody to put the guns down, is they're just going to drug the hell out of them.
Because there'll be no barrier to buying them anymore, right?
Oh, yeah, that'll be the death of America right there. Right there. If everybody,
they need to combine that. The only reason it works up here in Canada and they don't take a foothold is they're not allowed to advertise the drugs in Canada. You're not allowed to advertise drugs on television in Canada. Unfortunately, we still get the U.S. stations, so we still see the advertising anyway.
Well, you gotta, it's like the whole thing with the imams and all that, right? You've got a couple of these snakeheads that are running the whole show. So you just got to take out the heads of these, the actual drug companies. You got to put them in their place. You know, I mean, they did it to the tobacco companies. They don't have nearly the pull that they used to. So they just need to do the same thing.
No advertising at all for them anymore.
Yeah, why the hell are drug companies advertising in the first place? Like, that's done.
Yeah.
It's not needed. Why should I be asking my doctor about medication? That doesn't even make sense. Okay?
Why should I be self-prescribing? The doctors are the experts.
Don't
market to me. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a licensed professional.
Right.
I didn't go to school for 8 years for this.
So I'm not going to watch some picture of some chick on a beach and then decide that that's what I'm going to use to get out of my funk here. You know, that's not. Well, why am I looking at this? No, it's programming. It's called that for a reason, right? So, you know, honestly, if you don't have a doctor, like, well, I don't like doctors. Well, you better find one, all right? Because if you're all messed up in the brain, you better get your hands on a doctor you trust, a naturopath or something, so that you can try to do something, because if you don't do something, you're going to wind up broken for a long time, and it's not going to get fixed, and you're going to be screwed, and that's not cool. So a bad plan today is better than a good plan tomorrow. Get moving. But if you think you can make it without that, I suggest you do so. You know, you gotta get back that whole accountability thing. You know, it's like, take some responsibility for your life. Seriously. Seriously, like, I know it's hard, and it sucks, and sometimes life's hard, and sometimes shit is against you. you know? But, you know, and it's okay to whinge about it, too. You know, you're going to whine about it and stuff. That's okay, too.
Oh, yeah. And it helps you through it sometimes.
Go have a good cry. But you have to stop crying at some point. At some point, that's why, you know, I get all Sith about it, right? My usual thing is I get sad, and then I'll get all, you know.
And he gets angry.
And I get suicide rant about it, and I get all, you know, ooh, channel that, dark side, you know. Yeah, sure, Qui-Gon's nice when the sun's shining, but I'm a hell of a lot Darth Maul when, you know, I'm actually hurt and angry, you know. That's why, you know, I love that whole section from the movie, you know, where the shields come down. Yeah. And Buddy kneels, and the other guy like paces back and forth. That was my favorite, man.
Oh, that's so good. That's very cinematic. That part just there, oh, but the rest
stunning.
Is crap.
Stunning.
Throw away the rest, but
you know, yeah. It's pretty sad for me because I'm like, oh look, I'm the bad guy. Yeah, that's me.
That's who I relate to.
Yeah, that's who I relate to. I'd like, you know, if I just even grabbed a lightsaber, the blade would turn red, and a giant black cape would appear, and I'd be into me. I'd be like, oh, what's this? Bang! Oh God, I'm in the dark side. You know, I wouldn't even have to do
automatically.
Anything. I'd just be like, wow, like they deliver for that stuff. Now, talking about, of course, how everybody's drugged up. We got everybody drugged. Now, here is the cyberpunk story of the day. Are you ready for this one? In MegaCorp news. Okay, you know what megacorp? You've heard the term megacorp before, right? A mega corporation, right? Now, you remember the like the old back in the days, these megacorps, like, you know, oh, I'm trying to think of the Pharmacom and all these guys, and Panasheba was one that I put in after now and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? What made them megacorps, right? Like, you don't have to verbalize. But just think about that for a minute. You know?
Okay.
So, you know what you imagine them. They got ninjas and everything, right? You know, and they got the helicopters, and they, you know, they have, like, the people in the kabuki suits, and they're, you know, megacorps, and they're, like, mafia families. Yeah, okay, so here we go. In megacorp news, it inspects schools, trains our armed forces, helps protect our borders, maintains our nuclear weapons, runs our trains, and operates our prisons. Most of the public will have never heard of Serco, this is in England, an FTSE 100 company that does all of the above and more. Led by South African Chris Hyman, Serco is also making money doing it and underlining it is proving one of the recession winners. Profits in the first 6 months of the year, one of the toughest the UK economy has faced in decades, jumped 33% to £83.4 million. Sterling. Mm. All have benefited from the growing culture of outsourcing services under Labour, and Serco expects this trend to continue the gaping hole the public finances forces the government has cut back. So private corporations have taken over. Serco has secured a record number of contracts in 2009 so far, worth about £4 billion. Its revenue climbed 30% up from £1.95 billion. The deals include a contract to design, build, and operate Boris Johnson cycle hire scheme. A cycle hire scheme. Oh, it's like a place where you Boris Johnson's cycle hire scheme. I guess that's to hire bikes. Weird British thing. For London.
Weird.
And to operate two new prisons. Welcome to the Mentel Corporation. At Belmarsh in London and Maghull in Liverpool. These come on top of Serco's existing services, which includes operating London's Docklands Light Railway, running Northern Rail and Merseyrail train networks, providing the Ministry of Defense with air surveillance and control systems. Holy what? Mm. Holy what? Are you serious? And delivering infrastructure and intelligence at the UK Border Agency. Could you imagine having that belong to a private company? Your Ministry of Defense with air surveillance and control. Privatized.
Yeah. Serco, we don't put people in prisons. We help people put people in prisons.
Yeah, we help people in prison. to complete the list, Serco also has a 6-year contract with Ofsted to run inspections in the Midlands at schools and further education colleges. In defense, the company is battling to win the rights to run the Army's recruitment program and already helps train the armed forces by using Britain's fleet of aircraft such as the Chinook and Apache helicopters. In partnership with Lockheed Martin and Jacobs Engineering, Serco also manages the Atomic Weapons Establishment, which provides and maintains Britain's atomic warheads. Buddy's got nukes.
Wow.
Like, hi.
Check for backdoors and that stuff.
Send that guy a t-shirt that says, got root. Revenues from civil government work increased 49% in the period of a bullish in the period, and a bullish Serco expects this trend to continue. This is from a financial paper. Giving it even more control of Britain's infrastructure, the company estimates with local authorities have endured a $4 billion deficit and an income for the last 2 years as a result of the recession, but that by 2012 will have revenues of $5 billion. In the results, Mr. Hyman says the financial crisis and subsequent economic slowdown means that governments around the world are contending with increasing demand for higher quality services whilst also facing sharp deterioration in public finances. They continue to experience a growing demand for quality services for their citizens. We believe this is also leading to a greater acceptance of innovative ways of achieving these changes. A broader range of markets must be addressed, and an increase in the size and term of change programs in order to achieve the scale of efficiencies required. Not surprisingly, the shares rose 4% following those results. So, now, hang on here.
Well, it happens in the U.S., right? They
what the hell does that mean?
Lockheed,
so
Lockheed,
what?
Lockheed Martin as well. I know, it's bad.
Blackwater happens in the United States too. Is it okay? Let's. I think we're asking.
Is it okay?
It's the wrong question. Can we stop it? Let's start with that. What should we be arguing about here? Can we stop this? Whether or not you agree with it, do I think it's a bad idea? Hell yeah, it's a bad idea. Okay. Hell yeah, it's a bad idea. But can we stop it?
It's too much. Yeah. Too much power in the hands of a private corporation.
So what do you do about it?
Just too much.
What do you do about it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, exactly. Exactly. What we got to do is first thing we got to do is we got to be aware of it. Right, that's what we got to do. I don't know what to do about it either. Not much we can do, I don't really think. You know, what the hell
is... the government outsourcing, going for cheaper and cheaper solutions. I mean, I guess it's easier to hire somebody who's already got something set up than to develop it internally.
I
mean,
well, maybe Serco's hiring, you know? That's an idea. maybe you know,
get it on the inside.
You know, hey, why not? It's better. You know, I better go that way because you know, I'd rather adapt and no better way to. So if I was in the UK right now, I'm here to tell you. And after knowing this, I'm like, this company has just taken over everything. Well, I'm going to be further ahead if I'm with them than with them against them. You know, I'd rather be like a double agent than a guy on the inside of the wire, because I can, if I'm outside the wire, I can help get other people outside the wire. But once you're inside the wire, you're screwed, right? So don't make yourself a target. I would just, you know, I would go and probably get a job at Serco. Looks like they're hiring. You know, they need...
Yeah, put the Prozium under your tongue and spit it in the plants
as you
walk by.
Yeah, you know, there's ways. We all know we can get around that stuff. I mean, our people are smart. You know, we just... wow. That's quite something, though. I had no idea that was all privatized. Like, I know Britain has turned into, like... Britain's kind of turned into quite the cyberpunk environment, hasn't it, eh? I mean, you kind of think
of... Oh,
yeah,
like, it's
this,
amazing. It's in pretty, the bad way.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of extremism over there, and you got the heavy cameras on everything, and you got the cops getting more crazy, and it's like, you know, Britain's pretty, if I was going to go hang out, if we...
You'd never think it would.
No.
You'd never think it would go that way, but,
well, who
knows? It's crazy.
Who knows, you know? Now, this is, here's an interesting kind of story. Hans Larsen, the Canada Research Chair at Macroevolution at McGill University of Montreal, said he aims to develop dinosaur traits that disappeared millions of years ago in birds. Okay. Mr. Larsen believes that by flipping a certain genetic levers during a chicken embryo's development, he can produce a dinosaur anatomy. He told AFP in an interview. This cat... Okay, this is what he's saying. Though still in its infancy, the research could eventually lead to hatching live prehistoric animals. But Mr. Larsen said he has no immediate plans to create dinosaurs for ethical and practical reasons. A dinosaur hatchery... a dinosaur hatchery is too large an enterprise. I call bullshit, right? No way.
Yeah.
You know, where's the guy who...
Too large an enterprise.
What the hell's the guy's name? Richard Branson.
Branson! Get him in there.
He wants to ride a T-Rex. You know he wants to ride a T-Rex. If we get this guy down with Richard Branson...
I can see him on one. I can picture him on one.
And he'd be like, you know... He'd be like, I'm on my T-Rex! Wah! Anyway, it's a demonstration of evolution, said Mr. Larsen, who's studied bird evolution for the last 10 years. If I can demonstrate clearly the potential for dinosaur anatomical development exists in birds, then again, it proves that birds are directly descendants of dinosaurs. The research is funded by the Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council of Canada, the Canada Research Chairs Program, and National Geographic. So these guys are giving them money, okay? The idea for the project, Mr. Larsen saying, came out of a... Okay, where did he get this idea? You're not going to believe this. The idea for this project said came about during discussions with Jack Horner, the American paleontologist who served as the technical advisor for Jurassic Park films. Okay. So a guy involved with Jurassic Park talks to this guy, and now he's like, I could do that. Mr. Horner, did you see the movies? Did you do that? Did you go see them? Mr. Horner recently wrote a book called How to Build a Dinosaur, in which he refers to the embryo experiment as part of a quest to create a Chickenosaurus. Sounds like this book's for like 6 to 10 year olds. Mr. Larson's team previously worked to uncover prehistoric animal remains, and he including 8 unknown species of dinosaur and 5 new types of crocodiles in Niger. He also recently uncovered the remains of a new carnivorous dinosaur in Argentina. So, hey, you ever notice that they never say when they discover a new vegetarian dinosaur? You know, that they're only interested in the carnivorous ones. You should learn from that.
That's right.
Yeah, you should learn.
Yeah.
Because it's important to know these things. Now, you'll notice also in the show format that I didn't actually wind up putting this story in. I just have a hyperlink there, which I'm really not too sure.
Is that could be a bonus story on the page?
That's for the people who subscribe to Newsreel and where they can hear the banter. this
there
is,
you go.
I wasn't going to put this on. I wasn't going to put this on the show because it's a zombie story. And, you know, it's kind of one of those zombie stories that makes me go, you know, I don't know. But since we did the zombie story before, I thought it's a good tie-in. A zombie plague was analyzed by a Canadian maths professor. This is awesome. Okay, so no shit, here are the numbers. Okay, never mind the Hollywood. The guy, because you can always trust dogs and math. Those are the two things you can always trust, dogs and math.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so this is what math has to say. A Canadian infectious disease, BOFN, has published an authoritative mathematical model of zombie plagues. He concludes the only scenario in which our civilization could survive a zombie outbreak is one in which normal humans react immediately using extreme violence against the undead without any attempt to cure or quarantine. Professor Smith of Ottawa University is a mathematician specializing in the modeling of infectious diseases such as HIV and AIDS. I started off on the rectal microbicidal team, but then switched to the vaginal team. The jokes were never ending, I can assure you. Now he has turned his skills to analyzing the fashion which zombie plague might affect the human population. According to Smith, a major factor restraining normal plagues from utterly devastating humanity is they tend to kill their victims, after which the sufferer no longer moves about and affects others. This is the one reason the frightful Ebola virus has never spread. For instance, it knocks people down, then kills them so fast they only have a limited chance to pass it on. Not so with zombification. Once someone has died of the Z plague, they remain no mobile carrier. The factors that have prevented humanity from rendering extinct by the Black Death, smallpox, cholera, don't apply. Smith's models assume traditional dull-witted shuffler zombies rather than the so this is stumblers. These aren't the fast mover guys.
Yeah.
Okay, rather than the nimbler types populated in some recent film offerings, but nonetheless the dynamics of the undead contain so even with the stumblers, so you
that's
know,
intriguing because everybody watches those movies of the stumbler zombies, and you go, "Oh, that's easy. I could get away from them." But I guess he's done some math and
don't run.
Yeah, he can't.
If they're stumblers, take them out. The entire civilization, as you know it, will die unless you take them out. Okay, you've got to shoot them in the head. So, you know, you wait for solid confirmation because you can't be the first one to provide confirmation. Other people have to be coming to you, drooling. You know, standing there going, oh my god, these zombies, oh my god, these zombies, oh my god. Now, when they're doing that, okay, that's when it's on. Now you're like, and you called me foolish, you know, dun, 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 dun. And down into the basement you go, and you suit
I'm
up
ready.
With the dual-wielding, you know, autocannon, you know, power armor, chainsaw, whirling death machine. You know, that is, you know, that's the time to bust that out. Because you don't want to do that before then, because the SWAT team shows up and they shoot you. But, you know,
exactly.
But for the zombie plague, the math says, if there's zombies, don't think about running away. If you can contain it, you better kill them, because if you don't, you know, you're going to die. Where it's going to be the end of civilization.
I guess it's true, because you've run out of bullets. You just run out of bullets. It'd just be too many at once.
Well, you'd lose,
you'd
right?
You'd be outnumbered.
But even in the films, there was always those assholes who were sitting back there, well, we should talk to the zombies. We should make peace with the zombies. You know, there's always those jackasses. And those people, yeah. as far as I'm concerned, are griefers. They're just griefers, and they're wasting my time. That's all they are.
And you're the same attitude with the vampires in vampire movies.
I'm the same attitude with most people I meet, actually. The vast majority of the planet are people that are in my way. And I hate to say that, but it's true. I try to do that stuff, and it's like, you know, I'm trying to do stuff, and people just get the fuck in my way. And it's like sometimes they're just in my way for no reason, you know? And they're like, you know, be driving, and there's an old person with no fucking place to go. And they're just there, you know? And you can't get around them. And you're like, oh, don't worry about it, Grandpa. I've got nothing to do either. I retired 15 years ago, just like you! You know? It upsets me. It upsets me. But anyway, I'm just saying, you know, it's there is a time to bust loose and start killing zombies, and that would be according to the math model. So, you know, later when you're up on the zombie war crimes tribunal because you've been driving around in your Chenoweth fast attack vehicle with heads on spikes all over your truck listening to Gwar, really enjoying the zombie apocalypse, you know, and then of course the Marines mop up, because what if it's not the end of the world? What if there's a zombie outbreak, right? And you're like,
right,
you know, orgy of violence, you're like, wah! We're all like, you know, Apocalypse Now. One day this war is going to end. You know, you're having the time of your life. You're cutting heads off the samurais and stuff. And then the Marines show up and wreck everything. And, you know, you've got to answer for your, you know, your tanks that you've stolen and you've painted all the runic symbols on and the crucified skulls you've got mounted on everything. And you're looking at the heads, aren't you? Yeah, sometimes it goes too far.
You fortified your area. And
everyone's all pissed off. They're giving back the ammo, and they're going back to work. And Buddy goes back to being a Xerox repairman. And you're like, fuck it, man. I used to be like, you know, Slaughteror, the destroyer of zombies. You know, but hey, whatever. Whatever. Anyway, now, your daily hack today, you ready for this one, is a do-it-yourself Network 23. That's right. Tired of the blocky JPEG-like resolutions of digital television? For you long for the days of RF modulation and regulated yet unregulated content? Do you simply have the desire to toss your own converter box out the window and make use of those old rabbit ear antennas you have lying around? If so, then you might be interested in becoming a savior of analog television. This Instructable will show you how to create your own fully fledged low-power analog television channel with any video source, including your computer, as a source of content. Well, of signal, anyway. But I, here at Rant Media, along with my friend, will show you we got all the content you can stream. You want to just start broadcasting, Rant? Good giver. You got to broadcast something, you know, and it won't be any chance you're getting it from anywhere else. We created one that went live the minute analog TV went dead. We're still the only analog station in New York City, but please join us in making more. Long live analog TV. I think this is the greatest idea ever, and it is today's daily hack. So, pretty cool. And of course, go to the Live Journal to get the Instructable.
I think you might have to be careful with that one because they just reappropriated the bandwidth. The frequency channels that old analog was being used for. So you might start interfering with what they're being used for now, so they could still track you down. So be very careful.
Oh, so, and remember, kids, they can only track where the antenna is, not the rest of the equipment. They can only know the antenna, so you got a nice long remote cable, you know, on a breakaway switch, so, you know, motion sensor goes off, the little thing breaks off the camera, and the reel just kind of zips along, and they have to try to snake a reel, which is going down the side of the pipe, and they'll never find it. You're someone in the building. So.
They make computers real small nowadays, so you can just plant one up there.
Let it go.
Yeah,
stealth boxes all the way around. But, you know, hey, I think it's a good idea to have people, you know, putting out their own media. I think it's a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great idea. Of course, people putting out their own media. This is fantastic. This is great. I've got not one, but two artists have got some new media out, and they're good, solid Rant artists who we're really happy about. We have a new album from Vavrick called V3. It's a new album involving the work of a number of Triad artists. Now available for free download. That's your Recomedia for today. Go check it out. And Vavrick would, of course, always love to hear your feedback. You're going to swing by the site there. Check it out. If anyone would like to get involved in remixing or mastering, or you want to get involved with Vavrick and doing any projects, or participating musically with Triad, just getting comms. Really nice guy. He's a good guy. You know, and if you've got some He's a hell of a lot more open-minded than I am, I'll tell you that right now. I mean, he's one of those kind of guys that if aliens landed and they grabbed somebody and they were going to judge the human race on one person, I'd rather it be Maverick than me, because yeah. I'd screw that shit up for sure, you know? Now, and there's a CD...
You'd grab one and take it hostage.
I'd be like, fuck you, give me the Star Cruiser. Whatever, man, I got your dude here. Ask him why he's going to lose the eye. Go ahead, ask him. He's got big eyes. He's going to lose one of them. There goes your depth perception, bucket head. Yeah, anyway. So, you know, I'm probably not the best bet. Probably best to send Maverick. Yeah. If he winds up screaming, being eaten by the lizard people, that's when, you know... That's when I put on the mechanical pants, and it's time to go. That's what I'm going to call power armor from now on. I'm going to put on my mechanical pants.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the new name for you. Yeah, yeah. Don't make me get the mechanical pants, because if I get the mechanical pants on, oh, snap. Don't put the foot down with the mechanical pants
Watch
on.
Watch out.
You betcha. And, of course, speaking of this, Patient Zero has a CD release party. Not this show, but next show. So the which would be the 14th. No, pardon me. It's actually the Thursday. So after we record the show in Second Life, there is a CD release party here in Second Life. So it's the 10th of September. You want to be here for that. It's going to be a good time. It's a really good album. I have listened to some of it. I don't know if you got to listen to any of it. I managed to check it out.
Yes, I put it on. It's quite
good. Very, very good.
There's a lot of good stuff in there.
There is some good stuff in there, actually. I was working on the new After Now book. It's kind of nice to have some source on some stuff, and it's nice when you can... it's good when you have some art that's coming that you know is well, it feels kind of good to know it's coming from, you know, fans of the show, and it's keeping the community going. It's a very, very good album. You want to check it out.
A lot of good Sean samples in there, too.
They're more
hidden this time.
Oh, are
they're
they?
More hidden this time. They're actually Sean samples in both of these albums, but on the Patient Zero one, they're a little bit more hidden. And he plays with the octaving and stuff, but very good, very cool.
Nice. So again, 10th of September, after this show ends, their show's going to start, and the party is going to start, and it's a big CD release party.
Woo-hoo.
Make sure you come here to check it out. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate, distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab at the Dark Atlas website or send an envelope to Rand Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. Don't have any digital baptisms. Sorry. I did come up with a good name for an album, though. I came up with a really good name for an album. And I think I think I've forgotten it. Damn it. I came up with it earlier.
Next week.
Something to do with... I'll have to write that down. But it was a really good album name. I was like, I even said it to the wife. I was like, oh. And she's like, yeah, that's a good one. I'll ask her. That's why I told her. Because she's got, like, she can remember game codes from, like, Deuce X.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's...
Up, down, left, right, left, right.
Yeah, no, door codes. Like, you know, like the door codes in Deuce X Machina, you had to remember door codes. She can remember them from different levels. It's bizarre.
Oh,
she has, like, the weirdest brain ever.
Handy.
Well, you know, that's why she's in the AWOL bag, right? First thing goes in the AWOL bag.
That's right.
Well, Kifru. Kifru makes an attachment.
There.
No, they do. They have an attachment you can put on your back. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Kifru back. K-I-F-A-R-U. Kifaru, I think is how it is. Yeah. And what you do is you got, like, your pack, right, with all your kit in it, and they're amazing bags. Like, if you got the money, that's the bag to get. If you're going for, like, the hardcore, I have to live out of my backpack for 10 years because the world has ended bag, that's what you get. It's a Kifaru. I like it even better than the Eagle Industries and the HSGI stuff. Like, it's really, really nice. Really, really good bags.
They look good. I'm looking at their site. Looking good.
Well, there's a buddy carrier that's meant for if your buddy's wounded. So he actually sits on the bag, and it's kind of like he piggybacks over the bag as well.
It is.
And,
it's a cargo hauler dual suspension system.
Yeah, and you, it's actually, there's a carrier for a dude, though. And you can put him in there and put his arms over top. And it's really funny because they got this guy who's like, looks like he's a drunk, hungover, shot, wounded, or dead. The other guy's got a full pack with his rifle, and he's like firing with Buddy on his back because it's like the useless roommate or whatever. You can't do anything. So I figured that my plan is I'm going to get one of those Kifru bags And, you know, no matter what happens, I could just put her, I don't want to walk anymore. I'll be like, fine, hook, you know, and then I could just keep going with that. First thing goes to the AWOL bag, wife. That's the first thing.
The picture's labeled Wounded One John Chapin.
Yeah, I mean, so that's...
he's wounded.
Like...
he looks hungover, though.
Seriously, you just wear that on the motorcycle, get off, keep him in place, and just keep on going, you know? It's pretty great. It's you're going to be encouraging your partner to lose weight, though. I promise you that. Anyway, a little bit of a. That's why you're my cameraman, Sim. That's why I love you. I can carry two Sims. I wanted to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data, which is the name of the track that's at the end of the song. Is Vavrick tune about the Flying Monkeys, which has some great After Now stuff in it. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. And to be sure to sign up for the Rant Media newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. And the music in the background, of course, more side trance, but we're fading out with that track from Vavrick, Army of the Flying Monkeys. So very, very cool. And I'm going to actually listen to the album that Patient Zero did. Before I choose what song I'm going to put at the end of next week's show, because I actually want to listen to it and give it some thought. Like I gave Vavrick's album a listen. And, of course, this one kind of jumped out at me because it's Army of the Flying Monkeys and a bunch of samples and stuff there. So I figured that everyone would dig it. But, you know, and the other stuff on the album, if you like this, you should check out Vavrick's stuff. It's good stuff. If you like it, people who like it a lot. Have you got anything else to add to this, Sim?
Yes, everybody who's in Second Life, I'll see you all at the Rant Meet tomorrow, and people listening on Monday, well, hopefully you were at the Rant Meet Friday.
That's right. Yes, the temporal shifting. We have the Rant Meet tomorrow, which I'm going to. And I've been thinking.
Yay.
Yeah, so I was sort of thinking about that, actually. I have some interesting ideas about that, but I don't want to talk about it now.
Good.
Because it kind of gives away the thing. But if you want to go to Vancouver, if you're in Vancouver, you're thinking about whether or not you want to go to the Rant Meet. Yeah, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's around the world. That's There's right. lots of rant meets.
That's right. Yep. This is how it begins. This is how it begins. You know,
Do
we have an?
I heard they have a setup in every.
Do we have an? Well, are we establishing a net? Like, is there anybody bringing along Wi-Fi so we can get a channel up or something? So at least we have.
We're trying to pick places that do have Wi-Fi, and we're going to go on an open relay for a video relay.
Right.
It's called Tiny Chat, so there's no logins. You just hook up your webcam, you throw it on, you're chatting with everybody around the world. It's going to be a little bit of temporal shifting from East Coast to West Coast to North America, but we can deal with that.
Right.
We'll catch people on the East Coast that are just leaving, and we'll just get there so we can chat with the people on the West Coast.
Well,
of course,
it'll take
people
us five
Europe,
or six sessions
kind of on
just
their
to
own,
figure it out,
but,
right? It'll,
yeah.
It'll take us
oh,
five
yeah,
or six
course.
Sessions just to shake it out. But once we start getting it going, then we can... I don't know, maybe I was thinking about that idea I had about role-playing games. I was thinking about that a little bit more, and I think that's a
great idea.
It's a really good idea. But anyway, we'll
just
talk
have to
about...
formulate that. So it's the first Friday of every month. First Friday of every month.
That's
set
right.
it up in your area. Go to the forum, set it up.
Say it up with me now. First Friday every month. Say it again. Okay.
First
Friday every month. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So take his throat out, and that way you don't have to do that anymore. No, that's not good. Well, you know, that whole statement, I say that every time, if we're going to add each other's throats.
No,
there's a point where, you know, there are people who are diametrically opposed to what you're about. But the whole idea here, by me saying that, that throws back to just trying to get away from the flame wars, where everybody's, like, trying to throw attitude at each other, you know?
Yes.
You got to kind of get on one side here, a little bit of unity, because there's a lot of bad stuff going on.
You can only control your own actions, and if you're not at the other person's throat, that's one less throat that's getting ripped out.
Well, the whole thing is you got to understand who the enemy is and who the enemy is not, and that's important. That's why I think we should all start, you know, being ridiculous about this, you know, your operating system defines you, and start looking at where the real problems are, you know what I mean? Like, don't look at the birdie. Don't go for the distraction. Pay attention. You know, start thinking. Until next time, everyone, that's what server said. End of line.
tomorrow. What's yours?
Is hungry.